Hello, everybody, and a warm welcome to the High Achievers Podcast. This is yet another episode, and today we get to highlight a pretty awesome guest, and she goes by the likes of Tanya Yaronkev. I believe I pronounced this well, and her story is a bit of a different one, and as you know, on this platform, we look to highlight the stories and the perspectives of individuals who are really looking to go above and beyond the audience, above and beyond the status quo, and really reach for what they want. They may have had some difficulties, but they're really on their path. And to really highlight them and to actually have them provide insight to everyone else. Because you all come from each other. But secondly, we all at different points in our journey. So today we're speaking to Tanya Yaronkev, and she is a writer, podcaster, content creator. She writes about faith and motivational topics for Christians who seek to deepen their relationship with God and understanding of the Bible. She's passionate about the Bible, learns historical and cultural context, applying principles to life today, while helping others do the same. She currently works for an international ministry and also with her husband in the real estate media company. She's in the process of writing books and creating resources to help more people grow and walk in the world of Christ. Welcome to the High Achievers Podcast, Tanya.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. And it's refreshing to have someone from who really sticks to still in a religious context. And you find that a lot of coaching or just a lot of content isn't quite tailored to people who have a Christian faith. Yes, we're Christians, mostly in the Western science society, most of us are Christian, technically, but our consumption and definitely the application that we do on a day-to-day basis doesn't seem to reflect it. So it's really awesome having you once more. And I really look forward to our conversation. So Tanya, tell our audience a bit about your story. First of all, what inspired you to do the things that you do with your ministry and also with your podcast and blog?
Yeah, absolutely. So a little bit about me. I was born in Russia and I moved to the United States when I was really little and to Washington State, and then I moved to Alaska. I lived there for most of my life, grew up in Alaska. And yeah, I always struggled with my faith. I grew up in a Christian family, as most of us did, but I didn't really come to know Jesus myself until I turned 18 and I went to Bible school, and that's really where the journey began. But I think what's interesting is it wasn't until I got married. And I got married in 2017. And after that, I was always in a rush to achieve things, do things. I was always in this busy mindset. But then there was this one day where my husband sat me down and was like, what are your dreams? What do you want to do? And for some reason, I hadn't considered that in such a long time. And then it comes to me. I've always wanted to write. I've always wanted to deliver messages. I love studying the Bible. I love communicating with people and just really inspiring people to just take the principles from the Bible and let it impact their life, especially regarding just faith and being motivated for business, being motivated for just becoming successful and all of that. And so when my husband did, that's what started and jump-started the pursuit to, hey, I want to write. Even though I work a full-time job and I work for an international ministry, I see it as a place of training, as a place where I can reap the benefits of growth and just inspiring other people along the way. And so everywhere that I go, like I realize again and again that everywhere we go, everything we do, it's the mission field and we get to do that. And so why not take it to the marketplace? Why not take it to the business world and impact people with biblical principles that can actually change our lives, not just areas of our lives, but our entire lives?
And it's a couple of things I really want to touch on there, because when we speak of a high achiever, typically it's one that makes a lot of money, has a lot of external status symbols. But depending on who you ask, that definition may change. What it really gets to generally is, what does that mean for you? And I say this because as much as we have different definitions, different opinions, ideologies, if you will, a lot of people remove the spiritual element. And it's almost like everything else but that. And so I really love the fact that that's a focus for you. And I really want to ask you generally, where are you at with what you're really trying to do, looking to do long term? When are we going to get into that? What does success mean to
you? I feel if you asked me that a month ago, I would have said, oh, it's doing the will of God, or something like achieving X amount of followers or getting my book published or whatever. I feel like that's where my answer would have been. But what success means to me, as I've continued to study the Bible and listen to certain sermons and just grow in my faith and in my conversations that I have on a day-to-day basis with my husband and my friends, and success really comes down to serving other people. I left the person, or if I left a relationship, not like leaving it, but if after my interaction, I leave the person in a better place than where I found them, I think that's success. I think it's success when I get to serve people and help them achieve the things that they want to achieve and grow in their walk, whatever that looks like. If it's in their faith walk, if it's in their business, if it's in their family, if I can just somehow bless them and just serve them, I think that's success.
If you enjoyed this episode, it would bring me joy if you left us a review on your favorite podcast app, such as Apple or Google Podcasts, and subscribe to our High Achievers Podcast YouTube channel. The road to your success can be challenging and filled with unpredictable obstacles, but you sure don't have to go at it alone. And in order to consistently be at your best, you need exclusive access to the right information, be part of a group of like-minded individuals who hold you accountable, you can turn to for support, and even to celebrate those small victories. With that said, I invite you to join our High Achievers community. It's a membership where you get access to our premium courses, upcoming workshops and guest presentations, our VIP book club, bonus interviews, and exclusive videos not shared publicly. We also host monthly Q&A calls in our growing global community, where we don't end until every question gets answered, including yours. If you would like to cut through the noise bombarding your inbox and news feeds, and looking for a one-stop source to shorten your learning curve and reach your full potential in life and business, then look no further than to become a member of our High Achievers community and lock in our current launch special pricing. Simply check the show notes or visit crashhaddle.com/highachiever to learn more.
Awesome. And you saying this, and I'm just thinking generally, one may say, that's awesome, but what about how much money I need to the things that I want? So just to extend on your question, what role does money play into it? Do you believe that it's about just being comfortable, having a particular set point where you're just happy? Or do you believe that they overlap?
Yeah, I do. I believe that it changes. You asked how does money come into that place? And if you look at people like Dave Ramsey, and he's huge. And one of his biggest principles is you have to give. And when that comes in our financial area of life, whether that always includes business, I think it's super important to have that generosity in your heart. And generosity is not just, oh, I have this extra money, I can give it, but it's generosity isn't just about money. It's about, hey, I'm going to serve. I'm going to bring you into a better place. And I think that sounds exhausting for some people, but it's only exhausting when we are focused on ourselves and holding tightly to the things that God has gifted us with and given to us, and the experience that we've obtained through our life, if we're holding tightly to that, we're not going to be able to, there's no room to put more into your hand. So like when you hold tightly onto something, it's hard to put something in there. But when you let go, like you can put more in there. And so I think that applies in this sense of, hey, if you want to grow fast in your business, if you want to change the lives of those around you, but also increase in wealth and get more money out of it, then you have to keep your hands open. You have to be generous with that, and not out of a, I have to do this mindset, but out of, I want to, this will put me further. If I can, this is, it comes back to connection, connecting with people, serving people, and just being available as needed, because it's like, why do we need to hold on to things?
Yeah. And you say this makes me think that one, tithing, which is what you're saying, generally, it's not as common as it used to be, but it's always very important. Whether we do it in a religious sense where some denominations contribute some percentage of what they make to the church, or whether it's community service, whether it's volunteerism, we seem to have such a selfish spirit nowadays, such a selfish culture where everyone is for self, not just in relationships, but even on a community level. So many religious organizations or even non-profit, you would find that they would come together to do projects, get funding, and really still the collected good of the local or area that they're in. But generally, we have a culture now where people don't care as much about that. But like you said, the benefit is way more than just financial, and it really compounds in many ways than one. I want to touch on another aspect here, because we live in a time where many people may not want to say it, but the role of religion, morals, it's been in such a decline. And you find that while a lot of people may claim to be religious, they may be churchgoers, followers of Christ, generally, we live in a very secular society. How does one begin to even cope?
How does one even begin to cope? Ooh, that's a really good question. I think it depends on where you're at. Because if you are feeding yourself with the worry, with the anxiety, with the doubt, with the hopelessness that often comes with that kind of, those kind of things, I think it depends on where you're at to assess that and to... Yeah. Reestablish or act, maybe even just establish what it is that you believe in and what you're hoping for. Because I believe that hope can change a lot of things, but you have to find out what that hope is. And if you're totally in questioning mode, I don't even know if God exists, I don't believe in that, I don't want to believe in that, all that kind of stuff, I would just challenge, what are you hoping for? What are you anxious about? Why are you thinking what you're thinking with? And just let that be a method of coping first and foremost. And if that doesn't help, I think we have to get surrounded by people who we can talk to and have a safe environment with to talk to and ask these hard questions. And if that's no one in your life, then therapy works too.
These questions are important because as much as a lot of us try to be people of faith, practice and live by the word, we're surrounded in media, we're surrounded by many agendas, if you will, for to go that far, that preach and promote the exact opposite. So for many people who really by the faith, it's a struggle. In that, yes, they may be practicing one thing within their denomination, within their churches, communities, but when they go on the outside, it's like the total opposite. And I'm really glad you said that it's really the influence that you choose to surround yourself or what you choose to take it. So I'm curious also, how do you help women and also men find balance and fulfillment in their personal lives, personal and professional lives, and what role does spiritual growth play in this process?
I talk about this a lot in my writing, establishing healthy routines. And I think that when you have a routine that works for you, you can balance those things out in your life. And because routines, they become like part of your daily system of the lifestyle that you want to lead. And how does spiritual growth come into that place? It's part of your routine. It's part of what you do on a day-to-day basis. Because if someone was to follow you around with a camera as if they were making a documentary of your life, what would they find? And I think it's not to focus on what others will think or care or think of you, but rather to really assess yourself and ask yourself, like, what kind of life do I want to lead? And I think when we start getting overwhelmed with the various areas of our lives, it's because we're pouring out too much, but not pouring back in enough. And I think that's where Bible reading comes into play. That's where prayer and meditation comes into play, because those things, they help us to reassess and reflect and actually find our purpose again and get confident in that. So I think that would be my answer for that.
Yeah. And what is one of the, as a content creator, what's one of the most rewarding things about creating content, about creating religious content, and what impact do you hope that it will have on the world?
Yeah, the most rewarding that I found to be was when people respond and actually say that this was helpful, thank you for sharing this. Or even when they say, I think this, I prefer this. But that kind of feedback, it definitely helps me how I create content creation, but it's rewarding for me when I hear that it was actually helpful, because whatever I write about, whatever I post on social media or on my podcast, something I challenge myself with is to make sure that I have lived this. Did I live this, and am I qualified to pass this on? Because I don't want to be a person who just talks the talk. I want to actually walk it out first so that I can speak from a place of experience and saying, this actually helped me and I believe it will help you too. And so when someone responds and says, hey, this was really helpful, I appreciate that you put this out there because now I have something to help me in my life. And I'm like, okay, that's great. Then that it becomes like a checkbox for me to say, I have lived this through, I gave it to someone else and it actually helped them, and I can keep going and I can keep doing what I'm doing because it's actually helpful. It's bringing value to people. And that's what it comes down to. You bring that value to people and you serve them and you keep going.
Running your online business doesn't have to be overwhelming, complicated, or confusing. Simply use GetDream Customers to get more clients and customers to your company without the tech mess. We have coaches, consultants, course creators, and service providers of all kinds, with establishing a commanding digital presence that gets them more customers, makes them more money, and gives them the lifestyle freedom that they truly desire. Also, you can purchase one of our custom plug-and-play websites, funnels, and business-in-a-box templates, so you can keep focus on your best and most profitable activities while still having a premium presence. Check out the link in the show notes or visit getdreamcustomers.com to learn more.
For those people that you help, whether it's for your writing, whether it's through maybe not full-time coaching, but those that you mentor, because those who regularly read your work, those who ask questions, those who comment, they look up to you. And for those that you serve in that regard, I would like to know generally what role does Steve play in your process of helping them? Because you have coaching from a traditional sense, but what role really does faith play there?
It really comes down to faith in God. The role that I have, it puts me in a place of trusting God and also a humility that I don't know all of the answers. I don't have everything figured out, but rather trusting God through the process, and through there, I'm helping others. And so it's like a dual balance of, I'm confident to say this, but I'm also humble in the sense that I don't have it figured out just yet. I'm also going through this and I'm building a relationship rather than just seeking to get success out of it for in the how most people view success. And like to think of it, when I'm helping others, in turn, they are also helping me, because through there, I get growth. And the faith, like the faith aspect, what faith does for me here is it helps me to reflect on myself and check my heart, but also to turn to God and be like, God, I need your help when I'm doing all of this. And it just sharpens your character that way.
Interesting. A bit more about you. Tell our audience, what are some of the biggest challenges that you've had thus far? And looking back, what are some of the things that you've really had to learn to overcome?
I think as a writer, the biggest challenges that I have faced was really questioning if I'm qualified to talk about this. Because I write out of a pure passion and desire to first help people, but also to get better as a writer, as a communicator. And so one of the challenges that I faced often is just that imposter syndrome, feeling like I don't know what I'm doing, being insecure in that sense, and just really struggling like with what will people think when I actually put this out there? Because when I first started my blog, I would write things, but then I wouldn't post them for weeks because I was just afraid of what other people would think, what they would say, or not even say, just look at me. And overcoming that was just saying, it was actually one of my brother-in-law, he said, the people who need to hear this will show up, so you need to put it out there. And when he said that, it just changed my perspective on my writing in general. In podcasting, when I first started, I was like, I am not the most eloquent speaker. I stutter a lot. I say, I can get better, but who am I to even do this? And then when I actually started my podcast, I was like, I love this so much. This is actually so much fun for me. I don't ever want to stop. I want to keep going with this. But then the thought of who do you think you are comes back in again. And you're like, oh, yeah, you're right. Who do I think I am? And then you hear someone reach out to you and they say, wow, your podcast actually helped me. Your episode helped me. I feel like I can move forward in my life. I found transformation for myself through your episode on whatever it was. And there are just these different areas. I think these two specific challenges, they apply to the workplace as well. Because like I said, I work full time and I work in media and content creation as well for an international ministry. And when I first started working there, I was really scared because I did not know what I was doing. But I just said, okay, I'm going to commit to the process. I'm going to make it better. I'm going to streamline this, streamline that, make this report. And next thing I know, they're promoting me to a higher position. And I was like, all it took was that diligence and that faith, that trust in God, that this is where you have me right now. This is what I need to do. And I'm going to do it. And it just boosts your confidence. And I think that with the experience that comes along as well, you just.
Okay. And you said something I really want to stress on. And in your corporate life, a lot of people may start out at a particular position. Whichever way they got in, whether it's through referral, whether it is through really applying, whether it's through promotion. However, there is this sense of powerlessness eventually that you feel. As you get into corporate culture, you get into the politics of it all, to use that terminology. And as much as you may be willing, you may be eager to perform to it, you feel a little bit powerless because of all of this. Generally, if one really wants to get ahead, they really want a better career. They really want to get ahead in the actual profession. What would you recommend that person?
What do you mean? Who would I recommend that person to?
How would you recommend they approach their current role and really becoming better at what they do and also growing within their company.
Oh, okay. I see. This is actually a principle that I follow and stand firm on. Be faithful with the little things. And that is a tried and true principle that I think will move people ahead in their career. And instead of getting complacent in your position, whatever position you're in, have diligence. Create diligence within your character. Put that in yourself so that you can diligently work and become the best at what you do so that your supervisors, your managers, the people that are above you can see and say, you've completed the task, you've completed the job, and you still have so much more to do. So I will give you more. And with a little bit, when you're responsible with a little bit, more comes, and then you get to practice that responsibility more and more. And it's, I think it's a practice of stewardship as well. If you steward something very small and you steward it so well, you're able to expand and go from there. And before you know it, I think others will notice it too. And they will see that you're diligent, that you're honest in your work, that you have integrity, and that you're pursuing just to make the company better. For instance, if that's your focus, if making the company better and you want to grow as a professional and get higher and higher, then have integrity, have diligence, steward your craft, and grow from there.
It's interesting you say this, because sometimes we may rely on faith, and that's fine. But a lot of times when we see prejudice, we see people either will get promotions that you think that you deserve, or you see someone unfairly treated or unfairly laid off. Sometimes it really punches one in the chest and really makes one question a lot of things. And it makes someone question themselves even, that sometimes I'm working so hard and doing so much, but my contributions, my talents are not being recognized. And especially in a time where economically things are so uncertain. And what advice would you have for someone who really wants to be sustainable, who really wants to be an asset in this economy, in their particular roles? What advice would you have for such an individual right now facing all this uncertainty?
Something that helps me reinstill the confidence, and especially when you're battling that uncertainty in whatever role you're in. This is something that my husband and I both talk about quite a bit, and it's to, instead of viewing yourself as an employee and just as someone who is working for the company, view yourself as the consultant. View yourself as someone with a profession that has been hired to make this better. And what is your best advice? And I think that reinstills confidence and motivation inside of you to move forward. And then you're no longer uncertain. It shakes that out of you, and you become this person who is just so ready to do anything. And when other people see that you're ready to do anything, they will promote you. They will bring you to the next level. They'll want you to succeed as well, probably even more than you want to succeed in some cases, I think. And yeah, I think that would be my advice, to just look at yourself as the consultant that you are. Look at yourself as the professional that you are. You're good. You're good at what you do. And remind yourself that. Get strong with that. And get motivated.
And one thing that comes to mind also is that as people really look to just become better, we all want certainty, especially in the times that we're living, that we all want to know that things are okay. And when we put our children to sleep, or when we really talk to them, we tell them that things are going to be all right. But deep down, there is this well of doubt as to what the future may look like. And it's very discomforting. Really doubling down can help, but also really trying to see how you can be more, not just in your current role, But how else can you add value? Because even if, let's say, you were to be let go, generally speaking, if you're very valuable, you could be an asset elsewhere. So I'm really glad you actually say this. And I want to speak on one thing, and it's spoken about a lot, but I want your perspective, and that is the role. And as it pertains to the drive to make money, to really have a decent career, perform at your job, and family life, relationships, marriages. What is your approach to balance, and how would you recommend that one go about taking a fair amount of time for each?
I'm an analogy type of person, so I like to think of it. I heard this actually when I was a lot younger, and it stuck to me because it just makes sense. So if you picture like a traditional stovetop, there are usually 4 or 5 different stoves where you can put pans and pots to cook food. And so just imagine each pot, let's just say pots, each pot is an area of your life. So one has potatoes and that's your relationships. One has carrots and that's your work or career. And you have these different areas, and each item, each product requires a different amount of temperature. It requires a different amount of length to be cooked for. It requires just different things to fully cook through. And one will be faster than another. One will be easier to take care of than another. Another one takes more time to work on. And so something that I like to think of when, especially when I'm trying to balance so many different things, is what needs my attention the most right now? And then I look at that and I can focus on that one. And then at one point you can turn down the temperature on that one and focus on something else that now needs your attention. And so they're all on the stovetop. They're all cooking through, but you're the only one who adjusts the little switch there that needs to make it hotter or less hot. And you're cooking it through. You're watching all of this, and if all of them were turned up to the highest, one would overboil and just not, and burn out. Get messed up because it needs to be boiled at a lower temperature. And so just having that kind of approach and care towards the different areas of your life, I think that will help, because there are seasons that we all go through where you come to work and it's an easy day. It's an easy week. You can get through it, but things at home need more attention. And so when you come home, you can dial off work and just fully pour out into your family. Or let's say in your church community, like something really bad just happened and you need to be present for your friends and your church family, and or whatever group of people that you spend time with, things are going well at home and you can pour into that community that you're part of and spend more time with them, and maybe involve your family to come into it because your family is doing well, because we go through different seasons. And so I think when we look at it like a stovetop and then just balance the different temperatures and how much attention we give towards that one area, I think that will help us balance across the board and just be successful overall.
One of the tenets of Betty, my coaching, is the notion of fulfillment. And a lot of people want success. And the definition may look different for all of us, really after it's full. A lot of people have the money, they may have the health either, but still something is missing, something is eating inside of them. There is some regret that's there. Something within them that's not actualized, and it really bites at them. But even when we speak on that, we neglect the spiritual aspect. Sometimes, whatever your faith is, by the way, if you're listening, this applies. Some of us spiritually empty. So if one is really listening to this and they're really busy, they have goals, they're really trying hard, even tried hard within their relationship as well. But they want to make some time for God. They want to make some time. Maybe they may be very religious, or they may not be that religious at all. But that's not a period of life that they want to neglect.
What are some action steps you would have for such an individual to really become closer?
First and foremost, I would send you to Bible, and I recommend at least read through the book of Proverbs. These proverbs were collected by Solomon and a few other people, historical people who you can rely on. And they collected these proverbs, and these are principles that are objective truths that we can live by. And so I would recommend at least trying to read through Proverbs and then moving on to another section of the Bible, like maybe the Gospel of John or maybe the beginning of the Bible. A lot of times, especially Christians, we need to just take it back to the beginning and just go from the start. And if that is a little too much right now, then I would say the next step would be take some time to pray. Reach out to God verbally and just pray. Spend some time in prayer and just conversing with God, because I think that will, that prayer has power, and there's just a lot of things that can change from there. So that's what I'd say.
What do you think, or how much do you feel right now, people go to church often? And a common criticism are that people who go to church often, or maybe every Saturday, Sunday, whatever is your day, may seem to be the one that pontificate that they're spiritually sound, they're spiritually aware. However, most of us know that may not always be the case. But for one who is a, I don't want to say non-believer, because that is not what I'm referring to, but for one who is not as deep in their faith, is it okay for them to dabble as they can? How much of a component is going to church regularly in them?
I think it's a big component as well. Yeah, that would have been my third step. Because getting around people, and I would also just do research and look into the church that you are attending, because that's very important so that you know that the church you're going to is solid in their biblical stance. And if once you get around people in the church, I think that it provokes some thoughts, it provokes some ideas maybe, and it's helpful because you're surrounded by a community of people who are after the same thing. At the end of the day, we're all after the same thing, and it's helpful. I think it's pretty cool how we can have congregations that get together and seek the same thing, and that, yeah, it's very helpful.
What I'm trying to get to also is, can one be deep in the faith? Can one be spiritually fulfilled? It's not the right word, but can one be in line with God or with their journey without essentially going to church? Some people may say, I read the Bible, if I watch seminars on YouTube, if I watch Joel Osteen and the other pastors that there are, that's enough. What do you have to say to such an individual?
Yeah, that's actually a really good question. And I would say you can do, that's fine, but not for long. You're going to need a community. You're going to need some people in your life who can challenge you as well, and who you can challenge too, because the Great Commission is to go make disciples. And if you look at the very root of what discipleship is, it's community. It's being in relationship with other people. And you can do it on your own for a little bit, but it's not going to end very well. And it's good to be challenged in a group of people, and to also have the opportunity to challenge others as well. Don't stay there for too long. Find a community that you can trust and grow.
This is essential, because some people tell you they want to go to church, but they struggle to make the time for it. Whether it's time based on their work schedule, time based on their when they have time off, time based on really just other things, other commitments outside of any of those. And some people, it's not a priority for them. Such an individual would ask themselves, does that mean I'm not spiritually as aware as I should be? So it's really this individual I'm trying to speak to. And
is there extra justification for putting chills on the schedule no matter what? Generally, what's your take?
Yeah, I think so. If you ask yourself that question, I really like how you put that. Am I not as spiritually aware as I should be? That's a question to consider for all of us, even the people that do go to church. I think we could ask ourselves that constantly. And if it does make you more spiritually aware, or if it does make you more socially aware, whatever, why not? Why not try it out? Why not take the risk and get surrounded by people, whoever it is, not just whoever, but look for the people that would be right for you. But it's.
Yeah. And what comes to mind also is that we essentially are brought up by environment, and that development is a common phrase, but spiritually it's something that we don't take seriously enough, and the influences that we have are very powerful. The cell phone just opening up the whole page of you, a company, an algorithm is determining what goes in your brain, right? And this may sound small, but it's scary in that many extremes are negative. And if you keep looking at those things, your depiction of the world is extremely negative. So whether it's that, whether it's the news, whether it's all the negative things that go on, and we need to be aware. I'm not implying that we shouldn't, but there is a strong bias of negativity in the media, externally for the advertising, because generally it's what sells. However, that negativity and the bias that it creates as individuals doesn't really help us. In fact, hurts us tremendously. So I really like the fact that you said it, because that center, as much as we may find it hard to justify, some of us, the need for that extra block of time, maybe on Sunday, to get up early or take the kids out and really go to church, really spiritually fill your cup. It's really important for more reasons than just one you may be able to obviously quantify. Because like I was saying at the beginning, this world is so secular, and it's very hard for people who really try to live lives in accordance with the world to really exist outside of the actual communities. And even then, quite a good thing is going on. The community is perfect, as we know. So it is really important that you said this. I want to transition into the role of faith, and because as generally many divorces, relationship conflicts, breakups, it happens because of money. And we mentioned balance before, and my question really is around the notion of the need to provide, the need to feel like you're doing your part. So with regards to a relationship and money, what are your recommendations for a couple who are trying to have balance within their financing? Meaning when one doesn't feel diminished, or when one doesn't feel like they're not contributing as they should, or they're being taken advantage of. What should you advise people generally to?
Talk it out, especially if this is a couple. Yeah, oh man, talk it out. Get open and don't hang on to your offense, because you might get offended through the conversation, but don't hold on to that offense. And talk about all of the expectations that you have and where you want to go with it. Because once you get on the same page, then you can create a goal together that will help you move forward and do the things that you believe that you're both called to do, and you both feel good about it. There might be some compromises that you have to make in some areas, especially if one feels like you're both doing fine and the other one's, no, we need to do more, or we need to do less, or we need to not do this anymore. Like, you might need to make some compromises, and you have to be okay with that. And you have to honestly check yourself in your heart. Am I truly okay with that? And if I'm not, keep talking, because until you talk it through, there will always be tension in the air. And this is something my husband and I do. We talk things out, and it could be painful in the minute, but sit through that pain, feel it through, and then just decide to move forward. Because if you stay where you're at, you will constantly feel that tension, and it will not be fun.
With all the tension, all of the conflict that you see in media and reality shows and the dramatization of relationship issues financially, of people having those standards, and even in an economy like this, those have been, it seems almost impossible to meet on both sides. One thing that's striking me is the need for one to, so when you speak of balance, the need for one to really be satisfied with making more than the other. So my question is, do you believe one party should, ideally, should be making more than the other? And is it okay that especially the woman makes more than the guy? What are your thoughts?
I think it's okay. You're on the same team, especially in a, you know, being a married couple, you're on the same team. Why would you put each other down? You're only, you're going to be losing as a team together, no matter who makes more money. And I think that's important to recognize when you're budgeting, when you're balancing your checkbooks, whatever it is you're doing on a day-to-day basis or a monthly basis, however often you check in on that. But view yourself as being part of the team. Because my husband and I, we've been through seasons where he was making more money, but then, like, even currently right now, as we're building up the business, I work full-time for a ministry. I am an employee, but my husband is a full-time self-employed business owner. And right now, to be candid, I make more money than he does at the moment. But that doesn't mean I separate myself from him. How we view it, how we put ourselves in this position is we make this money together. We're doing this together. We're a team. And how can we get the business running more so that we can match the income that is being brought in? And so just to constantly reposition yourself, your view and your perspective of yourself, and be like, I'm on a team here. It's not just me. And when you have that kind of more of an open view, the competition, it drops, it leaves. And the negative view of one another, it leaves. Because at this point, you're thinking more than just for yourself. You're thinking about, you're thinking beyond and into the relationship.
Yeah. Pretty interested, because this is a sticking point for people. And some people will tell you, yes, what theory, but when the rubber hits the road and you're coming in and you see the other individual maybe on the couch, not knowing that they've had a day, the immediate thought is that you're doing more than them or they're doing their part. So there's always this conflict. There's always this lack of trust on both sides, but this lack of trust may come in that one party is not managing their funds very well. And then you have to catch up with that slap. So generally viewing it as a team effort really helps. The fact is, a lot of people in practice, they may hear this, but that's not how it really pans out. Again, this is not to contradict what you say. I'm just saying for a lot of people, they don't practice that part. What would you advise for, again, it may not just be a married couple, because a lot of people are not married, but a couple who are really looking to build a life together. How would you manage, I would recommend that they as well operate?
My advice would stay the same. You have to talk things through. And that you have to talk so much that everything that is on the inside of you, every expectation that you have, every idea that you have, it needs to be laid out on the table so that the other person knows. Because if there are moments like that where one is doing all the work and the other is not doing anything, have you addressed that? Or was that part of the agreement? Because if it wasn't part of the agreement, then you need to do more talking. You need to connect more in your relationship and figure this out. Because if you want to build a life together, it's part of the relationship. You have to have that communication in order to go forward in any area of life. And especially when it comes to finances, oh my goodness, please talk things through. Because if one is harboring some kind of anger or bitterness because the other is not doing X, Y, and Z, or because the other is doing X, Y, and Z, that needs to be brought to the table and talked through so that you can get on the same page, so that you can come to a place of agreement. And that is the goal. Agreement. The goal is not to just, this is what I think, this is what I think, and just argue back and forth, though that might sound like it at first. You have to come back to the goal of what you're trying to achieve. Are we trying to build a life together, or are we trying to get on each other's nerves right now? Are we trying to help each other be successful in every endeavor, or are we just trying to press each other's buttons and who cares what you think? I'm more right than you are. Like, that's where the pride issue, that pride, it will creep into relationships like that. And you have to always just bring it back to the goal, the purpose that you're trying to achieve in whatever area, particularly in this case, it's finances. You have to bring your thoughts back to that goal and say, hey, we're trying to achieve this right now. Okay. I sense that you're angry. I sense that you're frustrated, but how can we both get to a place where we agree about this thing, this budget, et cetera?
Yeah. And this strikes so many chords because the lack of trust is such a big thing, and that need for ship to have people seem talk things through sometimes can really split people. And this is also essential because you find that a lot of men in particular who had built their lives up and now they want a partner they want to meet. Yes, romantically things might check off, but on the financial side, they don't trust them. And it goes both ways as well. But the thing is, one doesn't typically have an appreciation for the other. And the other thing is that generally, a lot of us view others as just money. And money is important, like we've spoken about. But a good relationship generally goes deeper than that. And one can live in a fulfilling life and define it that. That has to come into play as well. And there has to be this communication to really come to a common ground what ideally we're really working towards. And that's the downfall of love. And that's why, for example, marriage is on the decline, in that some people just don't think it's attractive because of all the pitfalls, whether it's divorce, whether it's just being financially abused, if you were to use that lingo. And it's tough, but generally that's why when you pick the right person, my belief is that all the things have to come on the table, friend. And people hesitate to talk about money, an awkward conversation. Yes, you would tell somebody just, you know, But if you're serious and you're looking to do something, being honest about certain things, certain issues, certain things that you want. For example, one of them is some people may want to stay home. Want to stay home in that they predominantly spend time raising the children and the other party brings in the money. That's one scenario. And there's a lot of shame in doing that. Or one may just not want to do that at all. And one may just want to have certain things done for them. So my point here is that we all are different. However, generally, communication and being honest up front, and a lot of people on both genders are not honest with. And as honest, I mean that saying what they really want. Because that's where the disappointment comes in. That's where even people communicate, technically speaking, there's always this confusion there. So I'm really glad that you said. So it's almost an hour and it feels like it's blown by. But as we begin to wind down, I really want to really stress on typically the issues that Christian people face in this world. What, based on your website, based on all the audience that you have, what are some of the biggest issues that they have?
I think one of the biggest issues, and I have a following that is pretty broad. I have both female and male followers, but also not all of them are believers. Or let me say, like, not everyone agrees with my belief in God. And so I think one of the issues is the Bible really true? And that's something that I think needs to be addressed in a lot of ways, and just understanding why the Bible is the word of God, why it's the chosen word of God, and why are there so many contradictions in there, and et cetera, and how can you stand firm on your faith through the Bible? I think that's a big challenge, but also I think there's a sense of entitlement a sense of feeling like others owe you something. And with that comes a lot of doubt in anything that you do. And so I just noticed that a lot of people just expect things to land in their laps, especially when they do believe in God and pray for certain things and then sit back and do nothing. And that's part of the reason why I have motivation as one of my categories in there, because faith doesn't come without actions. You have to act on something. You have to do something, because you're not just, it's not just going to land in your lap. We were called to steward things. And I will point back to the book of Proverbs. There are so many verses in there that say the diligent will succeed and that the slothful will fall into destruction. That there's a lot of, I think slothfulness is a big sin right now. And it's something that a lot of people struggle with. And we all have things that we're lazy about. We have to fight that. And we have to get, not to offend anybody, but we have to get over ourselves and just put the work in and partner with God, not just expect him to do everything, but partner with God, partner with other people, and do it out of a place of servanthood, out of a place of humility, and just wanting to make life better, because we can. That's the thing. We can. So why not?
I really like the fact that you said this, because multiple angles, one of them is that as you look at, like you said, some people may be non-believers and some people may be believers, but the action, the lack of action typically is a common denominator. And whether you have faith or you put your faith in the deity or you put your faith in something else, generally most people don't do the work. Most people just believe whether it's based on the law of attraction. And really focus on what you want. There is some credence, I believe, but what I'm speaking to generally is the fact that, like you said, faith without works is dead. And you need to do as much as you want to attract, or as much as you want to really believe and have faith and pray genuinely for what you want to bring into your life, for the results, for the transformations that you really want. So it's really a synergy of the, and that goes across situations, whether it's someone who wants a better relationship, one who really wants more money, one who really wants a better living situation, they may be trying to have a child, common issue. They may be trying to solve the marriage, et cetera, et cetera. So it's really important that people get practical, not just eat what they want and really focus on that, but also focus on practically how. Because it having faith in being aware as to what specifically success looks like to you, choosing to focus on that instead and just doing that, generally that's when the solutions really come. A lot of us, the solutions are there, but we're not aware enough to grab them. Right? A lot of us are waiting for this miracle, we're waiting for this test, waiting for God to show us the results that we want. Give us the job, give us the opportunity, give us the client that we're really looking for. Like, a lot of times, our lack of awareness is why we're not grabbing on what's really in front of us. That could really move the needle. So that's really a personal issue for a lot of people, in that when people tell you things don't work out, typically there is something wrong with it. Again, none of us are perfect, but generally, the solutions aren't as far as many people imagine. So I'm very happy you said that. So, Tanya, you have your website. You also have a podcast. Tell the world about your podcast.
The podcast. So it started out as I was turning my written blogs into audio blogs. And just recently I launched a new series within my podcast. And something that I focus on in it is my goal is to help people find transformation in their lives. Faith, life, motivation for work, motivation for success, etc. Like, you can find transformation because, like you said, personal development is a common word. It's a common phrase that we all are familiar with. But the thing is that what I'm trying to achieve with my podcast is that you can achieve that kind of transformation, that personal development in Christ, and let that change every area of your life. And so that's what it's mainly about. And
And links for her podcast will be in the show notes. And as we begin to wind down, you were to not be around, if you were to be limited to just a couple of things that you could see, what are some lessons that you could pass on to the world, those listening, to really live a life of meaning, live a life of fulfillment, and get through a tough situation that they're in right
now? Yeah. Yeah. I would say relationships are very important. See who you're around, assess your community, assess your friendships, and prioritize that highly, because you reflect the people that you're with and those people reflect you as well. And so if you want to grow in any way, if you want to bring meaning to your life, I think it's the relationships that we have and the people that we do life with. That's very important. It's very key to grow, get challenged. If you want to do that, then relationships are very important. Focus in on that. And yeah, that would be my main lesson.
Awesome. And just seeing, being a content creator, as we both know, can be trying, can be hard. What is the technicality of doing it? What is the loneliness? What is the, just the found that criticism that we get? And that could discourage a lot of people. And I just want to briefly ask, even if I've asked for the last words, in terms of tips that you have for people who want to get into content creation, and especially in the early, you focus more on the religious side. Generally, what are some tips you have for someone who really wants to inspire, to serve, to teach? They're doing that, but they may want to do it wider than just their community, than just their church, and they really want to reach as much people as possible. What advice do you have for such a...
Get an understanding of why you want to do that, because when the people come, you will be responsible. So you have to know why you're doing what you're doing. And the second piece is, don't, instead of focusing so much on the numbers and the reach and growth, focus on the relationships, on the connections that you can make and what kind of value you bring. Something I ask myself often is, why should anybody care about this? And it's a little bit of a harsh question, but it gives me a reality check of, why is this important? Why should anybody hear this? And that helps me reassess my motive and actually bring value to the table and not just a post or a piece of content that will make me feel better and not anybody else.
Yeah. You know, and I'm just thinking, a lot of times we see, a lot of us fail to see ourselves serving others. Well, you know, deep down, that's what we really want. In that, especially if you see others doing it, we feel bad. The reason is that you're not inspired, or you're not acting on real inspiration to do it yourself. And in that, sometimes not understanding how is not the biggest reason that you're not. And people may tell themselves, I don't know how to have a mic. I don't know how to set up a podcast. I don't know how to blog. And the technicalities of it, yeah, yeah. But a lot of times it's really that fear that's deep within. And like you said, do it for the wrong reasons. So it's coming from the wrong place. And we all want to monetize. That's nothing wrong with that. But deeper than the money, your expertise is going to come out from the meaning that you really project. Those are really good on stage. Yes, they're trained, but also they're doing from the heart as well. So if one starts from there, generally the technicalities, take care of themselves. It's easier said than done, but generally, if one is an expert, one is really, you can see they're talented, I could see that they have so much to teach. It's not always the one who had the best microphone, one has the best lighting, one who's really, they seem to have it, they're brilliantly put together. It's that authenticity. That's, so for our creators, that's really where they have to start out. And generally, the technicalities will figure out themselves. Meaning,
that's a very easy practice for consultation, course, but you're going to teach, actually, you're going to teach desire. You're going to teach, not really, you're going to teach your desire to serve as a coach, as a high level and help people, right? Yes, you want to get paid, obviously, but that is very hard to teach. And like you said, a lot of people, they have the professions for the wrong reasons. That's the reason at a high level, they're not good. It's not the technical stuff. That is why. Because you find some people who 7, 6, even if you're coaches and they're not certified. Why? That's why. Right? They were very good at what they did, even before they had a little technical. It was so good, they accelerated so fast, they've not learned. So I want to say this also, see that if you're starting out, whether it's communication or something else, and you see yourself doing more, being more, because that's really what this podcast helps to light up in people. You have to not think small and you have to get out of it. And you have to take the first step, even if it seems scary, even if the neighbors don't think you're worth anything, even if people don't think, they don't think highly of you. It could be neighbors, it could be your family. Just the first thing that came to my mind. It could be your church even, right? Just the communities that are in. People box themselves up in so many ways. You'll find that. And you have to be careful because that's why you need, like you said, the right communities. And you have to believe in you first. And you have to have the courage to be you fully and not hold back. It's only when you show that and demonstrate this to the world, then your environment will respond and the right things will attract and you'll get the results that you want. So Tanya, very good interview. Very good having you on. This was a really lively conversation. We spoke about a lot of things. And again, I want to thank you for coming on, for being a guest. And last words for our listeners before we close.
I just want to say thank you. I think you're doing a really amazing job. And just, I've looked through your website and just your previous podcast episodes as well. And I think that it is very helpful and very needed today. And so I appreciate, I am so honored that you took the time to have me on as well. And I just want to encourage you to keep going and don't stop because people need it. People need you. You're doing what you need to do.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Much appreciated. But okay. So this has been another episode of the High Achievers Podcast. Thank you so much, Tanya, and stay tuned for the next episode.
Give yourself a virtual high five. You've just listened to another episode of the High Achievers Podcast. If you want to learn more and get your hands on the show notes and any links or resources mentioned from today's sponsors, go to CrashHardware.com.